Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Next Steps podcast from Westridge Church. This is the After Message Edition. I'm Steve Veal. I'm the Groups and Connections pastor here. And today, we want to have a great conversation about the message that we heard over the weekend here at Westridge. And what a great conversation that we are going to have today. I'm so excited about our guest. Tyler Newsom is my co-host. Tyler, it's always great to have you here, man. Welcome.
Yeah, great to be here, Steve. I'm excited. Today is a kind of a new recording of the podcast in the sense that we're recording right after Brian's message today. Yep. So it's Sunday afternoon. It's kind of like a post-game report, except here's the deal. There is nothing that we're having to critique in the post-game report. It was all good.
That's right.
So as we continue in our series, Authentic, I'm excited too because we have two of the most authentic people here at our church. John and Tracy Morgan are here. We're so excited. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Fantastic.
That's awesome. Hey, really quick, tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Tracy and I have been married for 29 years. Wow. And we left Louisville, Kentucky in December of 93 to come here to Powder Springs, Georgia to plant a church, which we started in May of 1994. God blessed us with 23 years there. And God graciously gave me his release from my assignment. And so I was working on a doctoral studies in contextual theology from Northern Theological Seminary and working at East Paulding High School and at Publix. And then I've got to tell this because this is exactly how it happened. The Wednesday before the Monday that Pastor Brian called me, my wife said, someone's going to call you and offer you a job that you have not even applied for.
I love it.
And characteristically, I was like, yeah, honey, right. And but it did work out that way. He called me on Monday, and the rest is history. I am the newly minted pastor of care and singles over 30. And we really had a great time here. Real quick, Trace and I have twins, Jade and Jamal Morgan. They are 22 years old, and they've been in our lives since they were 11 months. They are adopted. And my wife is a speech-language pathologist, and she works at Hillgrove High School here in Cobb County.
That's awesome. Now, you guys are a part of a ministry here. You guys jumped in and got involved in a thing called Reengage that we have here, which is a ministry for marriages, really kind of whether you just need your marriage to be reignited or actually you need it to be resurrected. It's a ministry that we have here. Tell us a little bit about that. Have you enjoyed it? How's it gone for you? Tell us a little bit about Reengage, Tracy.
Well, Steve, initially, I did not want to attend Reengage. It was something that John told me about, and he said, you know, Steve has suggested that maybe we want to do Reengage.
I want everybody to do it.
And I said, when is it held? He said, it's on Sunday afternoon. I said, when?
That's right.
So John knows on Sunday afternoon, that's my favorite time to kind of rest up and get ready for the rest of the next week, because it's usually very hectic for the week. But I must say, I was thinking today when the when the couple on the screen was talking about being engaged in a small group, how much I've actually enjoyed that small group.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear.
Yeah, it has definitely been beneficial to our marriage.
Yes.
Yeah. Our marriage had a lot of ups and downs, as you know, most marriages do. And so it's an opportunity for us to get together with other couples of like mind and spiritual maturity and kind of just discuss the principles that make a great marriage. And so it has been phenomenal. Not only just being able to discuss the curriculum that we're currently in, but hearing their testimonies and then just having that friendship develop.
I love it. I love it. Well, tomorrow is MLK Day.
Yes.
Pretty important day, especially in light of this last year, my goodness. And John, you and I were having a conversation a couple of days ago, and we're talking about one of MLK's quotes that, I think pretty famous, but I don't know if everybody's heard it, but here's what it was. It was, we must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. I'm going to read that again. We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. And I wanted just to ask you guys, you know, in light of all of that, what does that mean to you? What does it mean to you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think for me, Steve, as I kind of alluded to a couple of days ago, really talking about, from a biblical sense, the idea of community, but we're going to put a definer in front of that, divine community, where we are together. The thing that brings us together is Jesus Christ himself. He suffered, he bled, he died, and he defeated once and for all sin, death, and the grave. And that brings us together. And so when I hear that quote by Martin Luther King, it just reminds me of the importance of intentionality. I think we have to be intentional to create communities where we get to know one another, but we allow the relationship to go deeper than just the surface. And as you know, with all relationships, it's a choice. But I think what King is getting at here is that there has to be a mutual understanding and appreciation for one another. We cannot live apart, if you will, and base our existence on ideas of one another that are not grounded in truth. And so when you really get to know somebody, my grandmother always said, you never really know anybody. Do you put your feet up underneath a table and eat with them and do life with them? And I believe that from a prophetic sense, King was speaking of the fact that blacks and whites would grow together over time. He was certainly not suggesting that this was going to happen overnight, but over time, blacks and whites and even others can become brothers and sisters who operate from mutual respect and admiration for each other.
That's good.
And in terms of the history of Dr. King, some people may know and some may not know, his father was actually a pastor and his grandfather was a pastor. And he himself was a pastor, and all that he did was based upon the word of God. And he was under a lot of pressure at the time to not be nonviolent. One of the things that Dr. King wanted everyone to understand is that the movement that he was leading was going to be nonviolent. And he made that very clear. And he was under a lot of pressure at the time from other leaders of the black community who did not want to be nonviolent, but wanted to use violence if necessary.
Right.
And so that's, you know, knowing the background of what was going on is important to understand why he came out with that quote. Because basically, if we weren't able to live together as brothers and sisters, then we would definitely perish as fools.
And what do you think that, I mean, I feel like when he said that we're going to perish together as fools, that that's just going to be a complete breakdown of us as a society, you know, that we have got to learn to cohabitate, and you know, we're different, and yet we're exactly the same, and you know, and I think that's so valuable, just to know that you know, we have different thoughts and different ideas, regardless of, you know, what your skin color is. You have a different, you may or may not have a different upbringing or whatever, but it's just so important, because I think, you know, it pleases the heart of God to see us appreciate his creation in one another. And if we don't, we're living in opposition to God. And I think that's, we're just not going to survive. We're not going to thrive if we don't.
And sure. You know, the scripture says a house divided against itself shall not stand. Yeah. And so if you really look at the relationship of the races, it is a matter of national security. That we get along, because otherwise we will be a house divided.
Right. And that's when we are looking at perishing.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, so we're in this series, Authentic. And today, kind of the message title was How to Fight the Right Fight. So there's so much conflict. It's everywhere. And Brian points out that James seems to think that there is a hidden enemy stirring all this up. Tracy, I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
I agree that there's definitely, we know in the scripture that there is a enemy that is against us all. Mm-hmm. Once we come to Christ and know him, we know that we are in that battle of fighting. And so what you have seen recently where people seem to be fighting one another, I really believe it's distraction. Mm. You know, it's all a distraction from keeping us from doing what we actually need to be doing, which is compelling others to know Christ and come to him and accept God's gift of salvation. And so I also enjoyed when Pastor Brian brought up the point that we are not, our battle is not with one another. Mm-hmm. You know, the battle is with spiritual wickedness in high places, and we have to keep that in mind so that we can be on the same plane as followers of Christ.
Do you guys think that people recognize it? I mean, do you think they recognize how they're just kind of, or we, and I say people, I mean, meaning myself. Do you feel like we recognize when we're just stepping right into the agenda of the enemy oftentimes?
I think we always have to be on guard.
Yeah.
We always have to be looking out. It's easy to step into that.
It is.
You know, with social media, I myself, you know, sometimes I have feelings that I cannot necessarily put on my social media page because it would not reflect what Christ would want me to do.
Yeah.
And so when we realize, I think within our minds, we always have to be on guard. And that's the hardest part, is staying on guard, you know, because things happen.
Yeah.
They have a tendency to get us off balance.
Yeah.
And I think that the nature of the warfare is Satan is a master of subterfuge. He's always creating a reality as if out of the shadows. Mm. And so I think it is the Adamic nature within us that it's easier for me to localize and to focus on you and to say, you know, I don't like Steve. I don't like the way he looks. I don't like the way he characterizes things, you know, and it becomes personal. And then the Apostle Paul says,
wait a second. Yeah, me either, John. Me either.
I feel like it just did get personal here.
And so the Apostle Paul says, listen, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces of wickedness in high places.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, we are drawing our anger and frustration at what is visible. I mean, we've all experienced this, and real simple, and we'll leave it alone. Yeah. You're walking in the room, and you know that whatever it is, the object on the floor is there, and you hit it. You hit it with your foot, and you're angry at it, an inanimate object. But you knew it was there. You just failed to recognize it. So in this spiritual warfare, going back to King's quote, I mean, if we just continue to demonize one another and delegitimize one another, I think this is key. When you come together and you are developing a koinonia, biblical community, you have to understand the individual's history. Mm-hmm. And whether you agree with it or not, it is their history because it has actually happened.
You know, and I believe that this is what King felt. I don't think that it's just about race relations. I think it's about successfully navigating life. We need each other. Mm-hmm. We've got to be in community and whatever that looks like. Because I tell you what does the enemy want to do in our lives more than anything? He wants to isolate us, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, think about the animal kingdom. You know, who gets taken down? Yeah. You know, the isolated young animal, whatever it is, gets taken down. Why? Because he doesn't have the protection of the herd.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, you know, that community, you know, and it's interesting, I think, because it's not just in Christianity, it's in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, God created the world. You know what I mean? So all of his principles work in and out of his kingdom. you know, for those of us who are saved or part of the kingdom. But there's a lot of us, a lot of the world who isn't, you know, but the principles of God still apply. And mm-hmm. so, you know, that community for us to come together is so critical, but it's even more so for those of us who are trying to live and appreciate, you know, the gospel. I think that's really good. Really good word. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to just kind of ask you guys another question. So Brian made an important observation from James chapter 4 that we were looking at earlier today. And I'm going to quote what he said because I just thought it was so good. He said, the real battle is not our spouses. Mm-hmm. It's not our children. It's not our boss. It's not our neighbor. It's not our friends. The real battle is selfish desire and sinful pride. Mm. Selfish desire and sinful pride. That's the bottom line, he said. Mm-hmm. That's the disease that causes so much conflict between people. And you know what? When he said that, I just thought, true, mm-hmm. true, true. And the question I wanted to bring to all of you is, why is that selfishness and pride, why is it so intoxicating for us, even as members of the body of Christ? Why are we so drawn to it? To just putting ourselves before others, and maybe not in a gross way, but it's a struggle. I mean, maybe I'm the only one in the room that struggles with that. But I mean, you know, I mean, it's I just the thought that came to my mind is it's intoxicating for us. Hmm. It is, and I just want to ask all of you, like, why do you think that is?
Well, I think one of the things that God teaches in His Word is that we are supposed to put other people ahead of us, before mm-hmm. us, okay, mm-hmm. to consider them more highly than ourselves.
Right.
And so one of the things that he was talking about is being humble. And the part of that statement that he made that you just did the quote of mm-hmm. is when he talked about wounded pride, because mm-hmm. nothing makes us more vicious than even in our mm-hmm. marriage, not just between the races, but in our home, mm-hmm. with our children, mm-hmm. with our marriage, and just people that we know, when we feel like our pride has been wounded,
yeah.
we have a tendency to not necessarily look for the answers in God's word, but just to go with our flesh,
mm-hmm.
because it's immediate.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so that's one of the things that we need to be able to do is recognize when that crops up mm-hmm. and then go to the word.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I totally agree.
Yeah. And I would add that when you go back, you know, the first couple, Adam and Eve, you know, Adam was the one that was assigned with the responsibility. He said, you can eat from all these trees in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He knew it.
Mm-hmm.
But yet when Eve was encountered by Satan, Adam was there. Mm-hmm. And that's like the unintended reality, not unintended. It's not stated, but it's obvious. He's there.
Mm.
But the reality was he wanted
yeah.
what Satan offered Eve. And that's why after Eve ate the forbidden fruit, he ate it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's inherent in all of us. And when we come to Christ, we have the opportunity to daily crucify that nature.
Yeah.
You know, to put it under the subjection of Christ. So whether it be race relations, whether it be our relationships with our spouse, our children, our coworkers, you have to acknowledge that that sinful nature is there and you want to gratify yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So and what I do you say to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I apologize. I also think that we need to make a decision what our response will be before the situation comes up. And so as we study God's word, we've already set into place how we want to react when somebody offends us or
yeah.
if our pride is wounded.
Yeah.
John and I talk about this from time to time, especially like within a marriage. If you, in terms of having affairs, if you wait until the moment of temptation
mm-hmm.
to start thinking about, well, you know, God's yeah. word says this. But before you get into that situation, you already have to know what God says and what your response will be.
Yeah.
You know, so, it's the same in conflict with our yeah. brothers and our sisters. We have to already purpose in our heart that when it comes, when we get into that position, because it's coming.
Yeah.
So when something comes up, we already have that defense ready.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about the person who it might be listening, or maybe people we know who are, let's call them seekers, Mm-hmm. Maybe they are Christ followers. Maybe they're not. Maybe they go to church. Maybe they don't. But they're wrestling. They're struggling with what we're talking about. And the reason they're struggling with it is they feel like if this is what's natural to us, you know, if taking care of ourselves and making sure that we're okay, making sure that we're safe, making sure that there's a roof overhead, making sure that things are okay for us first. It's kind of, you know, the survival of the fittest. If that's our nature, then why is that? Why do we consider that? Why do Christians say that that's so bad or so wrong?
Mm-hmm. I think if you make yourself the focus, then you will over time develop the propensity mm-hmm. to seek what you want at the expense that's of it. Others, no matter what
yeah.
that expense is. You become kind of numb to it.
Mm.
And you just, and you don't even, after a while, you don't even question it. And I think that's what Satan excites in individuals. I mean, you think about it. A baby is born in the world. It cries. It gets picked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whether the pamper is wet or it's teething or it's just, you know, I want my bottle. And so we develop this, but then we flip the switch on children to say, okay, you have to stop being so selfish. Mm-hmm. And kids are like, huh?
Otherwise, they're not going to stop being it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse.
And this is where, yeah. you know, when you talk about the seeker, Steve, this is where biblical community comes in, combined with strong biblical instruction. We have to have conversations. You have to show them in the word, but then they have to see it. They yeah. have to see that it is possible to live a unselfish lifestyle.
Yeah.
And an unselfish lifestyle comes from living in the Spirit. And once we come to know Christ, then he fills us with his Holy Spirit. And that's when we can exhibit the principles that God has put before us, rather yeah. than going back to, as Pastor Brian said earlier, worldly principles.
Yeah.
You know, because we are born with worldly principles. But once yeah. we come to know Christ, we become new creation.
Yeah.
And so we learn to humble ourselves.
Yeah, it kind of comes back to the whole MLK quote that we started with.
Right.
You know, that if we don't align ourselves with something better than our natural selves.
Right.
And seek out on purpose to have community, we're going to destroy each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter, you know, what color your skin is. Mm-hmm. Our nature is going to be to destroy each other because why not? Right?
That's
you
right.
Know, you
that's
know, I, if I'm looking out for me
that's right.
and you're in my way, then, you know, then I have to eliminate the problem. You know?
That's
and,
right.
And that may sound extreme, but man, look in our world today.
Right. You know, but once we become followers of Christ, we are more concerned yeah. with the community
yeah.
of faith than just our individual selves.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I knew this was going to happen today. I knew this particular moment was going to fit in perfectly just because I knew God had it for us. So as one of our attenders, friend of all of us in here, friend of the podcast, Robert Owens, he's walking out of the 10:30 service. And I'm about to go into the last service at 11:59. He says, guys, you have to bring this up on the podcast. Mm-hmm. He says, you have to ask this. Brian hit something right at the very end that is crucial for us to mm-hmm. be able to figure this out. And I want you guys to wrestle through it. And I, you know, was thinking to myself, if it fits, mm-hmm. then we'll add this in at the end. I can take, you know, my last question I want to pose to you guys and kind of shape it this way. Mm-hmm. And what he comes to me and asks, he says, and basically it's what Brian says, there is a fine line between accusing and judging someone, and the fine line on the other side would be confronting a brother or sister because they're in sin. There's a fine line between accusing them and judging them or confronting them because they're in sin. And just this morning, kind of as we close up and kind of put a bow on this conversation, I think we have gotten wrong as a church. When you see someone in sin, you're accusing them and judging them rather than confronting them. Where do we land and how do we navigate that fine line correctly? John, I just want to pose that to you first.
Well, I think, you know, again, the Apostle Paul says, speak the truth in love.
Exactly.
When you are accusing somebody, that there's no love in that.
Right.
Because there is no hope for restoration, reclamation. You're just, you know, you're ugly, you're dumb, you're fat, you're stupid, blah, 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 blah. But then when you confront, well, I like that David Osselberg in his book says, care enough to comfort. So when you when you come to someone, you say, you know, let's have a conversation. You know, let's walk the person through the process of coming to the realization, rather than you saying, you've sinned.
Yeah.
You show the word and let the Spirit do the work. Now, as I'm sure people in the audience saying, yeah, right, brother. Yeah, they're really gonna confess it and deal with it. It's a process. It's a process. And you just don't let it go, but you have to do it in love, in the hopes that the individual will recognize that and mm-hmm. say, okay, I'm out of bounds with God, and therefore I'm out of bounds with the people I'm in community with.
Yeah, I don't, you know, it's funny. I'm not sure if Brian called it a thin line. I don't think it's a thin line. I think it's a very fat line because it comes right down to what's in your heart. What motive is in your heart? And now it's not an easy line. I would say that. But, you know, is this about you or is this about me? If it's about me, then, and if I'm the center and the reason that, you know, that I'm saying what I'm saying, then that's on one side of the line. Mm-hmm. But if I'm doing it because I'm genuinely caring about your soul, I'm genuinely caring about salvation, being real, the gospel permeating and having its blessing and its place in your life, then I'm going to risk how you might feel for the sake of align, helping you to become aligned. That's where community comes in, right? Helping you to align.
Well, one of the things that John has said in one of his sermons a while back, he said, well, I have a finger pointing at you. Mm. I have four pointing back at me, or three pointing back at me.
Yeah.
And so I think if we spent more time in making sure that our own souls are ready for Christ when he comes for us, we will have less time for accusation.
Right.
And then additional to that, particularly for people who have not made the decision to follow Christ yet and are seeking, and even those who are not seeking, I think as followers of Christ, we have to remember that we ourselves are saved by grace. And it's the same grace,
that's right,
the same love that seeks out those who are not saved, who have not made that commitment.
Yeah.
And so I think we would do better in terms of reaching others for Christ if we spent less time worrying about that line period and just work and focus more on demonstrating love, being grateful for where God has brought us from, recognizing that we still sin and that we still need God's grace every day, every moment of every day. And so I think that's, you know,
Especially, you know, you think and Steve, I know you're going to talk a little bit more about this in a second, but in a group setting, I think the fine line comes, it's just this fine line kind of came from mine and Robert's conversation.
Yeah.
I don't think Brian specifically said fine line because I think you guys are right. It's not a fine line,
right?
But say a group leader or a group member,
it feels
the fine,
like
it could be. It feels like a fine line because it's where your heart is coming from, and is the result restoration?
Yeah.
If the result isn't restoration and your heart isn't coming from a good place, you could be saying the same words, and it comes across in so much hate, and never results in restoration.
You got to check yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Brian kind of gave us a challenge at the end of his message, and before we close up today, I wanted to bring this to you guys because I think it's powerful. He talked about the fact that, you know, when we find ourselves in life, you know, and going through life, if we all not only began the day in the Word, you started to talk about that earlier, Tracy. Mm-hmm. If we would begin our day renewing and refreshing our minds, but in each time we find ourselves struggling with conflict, if we went back to the Word first to kind of put ourselves back in the mind of Christ and then took that conflict to prayer, what an enormous difference that would make in our lives. And so I just wanted to kind of ask all of you, really, what do you think it would look like? What would you think the world would look like, the conflicts that we're facing? What would that look like in a world today from your view?
We would have a lot of peace. There'd be much more peace. Yes. And people would, if they are seeking God at the beginning, of the day, it's like a foundation for the day.
Yeah.
So you pray to God, you seek His will for the day, you ask Him, what do you want me to do today?
Yeah.
You know, and just set that foundation. If everybody did, even if just the church did.
Sure.
Let's say even if the ones who are called out of God would do that.
Yeah.
It would just be a completely different world.
You're inviting the mind of the Spirit.
Yes.
And to cover over your life. I think it would be huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this each week, Brian leads us through this series. He is not sitting down watching the news and writing. Right. He's had this planned so long before, and that's not him. That's God. Right. That is God putting this in front of our church.
What a blessing for us as a church.
Yeah, I went to Luke 6 this week. Luke 6 was not written this week.
Right.
And it's about talking about love your enemy.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and if I'm supposed to treat my enemies this way, man, how am I supposed to treat my brothers and sisters in Christ?
Right.
You know, so much. And that wasn't written this week or as a result of 2020. That's been there hundreds of years.
Yeah.
So this isn't new, and Brian hit that perfectly, but it's there for us to access all the time. Right. There would be so much difference if we just kept going to it.
And I don't know who said it. It was a long time ago. I remember someone was saying, you know, when it said love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, it's really hard to be genuinely praying for the blessing of a person's life and continue to feel feelings of conflict towards them. I'm not saying it's impossible. I think it's healing. And so because it's healing, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. So I think it was God-sized when he said, you know, pray for those who persecute you, you know, and love your enemies, because not only does it bring healing, potential healing for them and love for them, but it brings healing for you. You know, as a member of the gospel.
And the only way you can do that is to humble yourself.
That's right.
You know, that is the ultimate.
Because like we said, otherwise I'm doing what's best for me.
That's right.
You know, in every situation. And so if you're listening to this, just know that we are with you in the struggle. Mm-hmm, we feel it. That's the point that, you know, a lot of this podcast, just to be honest and try to live out and wrestle with the things that God has put on Brian's heart and just be, you know, as we try to apply it, it's a struggle. And we're with you on that. And so, John and Tracy, what a joy it's been to have you guys with us. And Tracy, when you and John and I and Christy were having dinner, and I said, I'm going to have you on our podcast.
That's what you said.
Because you have such great thoughts. Yep. And we really appreciate it. And John, you could read the phone book and people would come to Christ, you know, with your
phone number.
That's right. You can give a phone number and people would come to repentance. I swear, you know, just love having all of you on the team. Tyler, love having your voice in this conversation. It's really great. Max, I want to thank you, man, for being our producer today. You don't have a mic in front of you to say you're welcome, but I'm going to just say you're welcome on your behalf. But you would. Thank you for being here. Guys, you know, we always want to just try to encourage everybody who is listening that this kind of conversation that we're having today is community. Mm-hmm. It's just iron sharpening iron and us wrestling through. We don't always agree on everything, you know. Sometimes, you know, we might be shaking our head and going, you know, I hear what you're saying, but not really fully in line with that. But that's okay. You know, we're working and we're growing through together. And this is what happens in small groups, whether it's in person or online. It's why we just feel so much that people need genuine, authentic community. It's one of the blessings of being a member of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's part of our salvation. It's it's our salvation being worked out because God's blessing to us is each other. And man, this has been a great part of that. And our hope this month and every month is that you will try to find a group. Try to just try it and see what happens at westridge.com/group. groups, and we'll help you if we need to. All righty. Well, it's been great to have all of you guys here. Really enjoyed that. And just know if you're listening that we mean this with all of our hearts. You are loved.